Well, this week we've been looking at sea level rise projections in South Florida and the effects on everything from real estate values to infrastructure. And we end our series today, literally by the side of the road, with decisions that were made after Tropical Storm Sandy washed out a four block section of a major street in Fort Lauderdale. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, WLRN's Wilson Sayre reports.
Walking along a four block section of State Road A1A in Fort Lauderdale reveals a story of change. Along the beach is a low corrugated wall with a makeshift wooden cover on top. The road is striped with different shades of asphalt, but beyond that, you'd never know that almost a year and a half ago, when Tropical Storm Sandy hit, it was all underwater.
My neighbors would come down and have a glass of wine on my patio out there, and we'd watch the kayakers coming down the middle of A1A.
Molly Myers has been in the same house on A1A since eighth grade. She's seen the water come across the road before, lapping up against the wall that separates her home from A1A. But the destruction during Sandy was a first.
I'd never seen it come across the way it did that time, again and again and again.
The waves from Sandy and some small storms just after ate away at the sand, causing sections of the road and sidewalk to fall into the sea. But remember, while Sandy did major damage in the Northeast, in southern Florida, it wasn't a big storm. To explain the uncharacteristic destruction of A1A, scientists point to sea level rise. Len Berry is director of the Center for Environmental Studies at Florida Atlantic University.
In many parts of the globe, 6 inches of sea level rise doesn't make much difference. In South Florida, it does.
When the waters receded, Fort Lauderdale officials started to rebuild A1A in the same place. There really was no other choice. It's the only road that accesses some 150 homes and condos along that section of the coast, a situation that's repeated throughout South Florida. So the Florida Department of Transportation drove metal sheet pilings almost 40 feet into the sand between the beach and what was left of the road. It's a long-term solution, something that other roads in South Florida, just as vulnerable, just as crucial, have yet to benefit from. Scott Peterson is the project manager for the A1A reconstruction.
The sheet pile will protect all the infrastructure landward of that sheet piling.
But experts are critical of the state's tendency to react instead of prevent when it comes to sea level rise.
DOT has been good at getting some of the issues studied. They haven't been able to follow up in implementing much.
That's Len Berry again. He was the principal investigator on one study funded by the Florida Transportation Department. It lays out a method for identifying areas that will be affected by sea level rise. But the state has yet to set priorities, goals, and mandates, both in design and budgeting, to adapt to rising seas. Jim Wood is director of policy at FDOT.
It's not something that's risen to the level yet that the department feels that we have to set a statewide policy on this issue yet.
But given the rate of projected sea level rise, cities like Fort Lauderdale see the necessity to shore up their coastal infrastructure, despite the lack of statewide policy. Diana Alarcon is from the Fort Lauderdale Transportation and Mobility Department.
It's very near and dear to our heart to put best practices into place so that we are creating the roadways for not just tomorrow, but for, 20 years down the road.
Len Berry at the Florida Atlantic University suggests that as the state looks forward, at least one of those practices would be to take a step back.
Retreat is not in the American lexicon, but it's going to be part of our lexicon as we deal with sea level rise.
With that in mind, the Florida Department of Transportation has spent over $9 million on the A1A infrastructure improvements, with an estimated $10 million more to go. Ultimately, the project will cut the road's four lanes down to two. For Here and Now, I'm Wilson Sayre in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, as Florida figures out how to deal with too much water, California is, as we've heard, still dealing with a historic drought. Next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be broadcasting from NPR West in Culver City, California, and we'll be talking about the drought with many people, including Governor Jerry Brown, who told me that despite some rain in recent weeks, the drought remains very serious. And I asked him if he thought lawns in the drier areas of California will become a thing of the past.
It may well be that cactus and lizards take the place of rose bushes and lawns. It's not something we're going to issue a mandate today or in the next month, but over time, sooner rather than later, the uses of water are going to come under very careful scrutiny, and only the wisest uses of water will be permitted.
It's California Governor Jerry Brown. You can hear our full interview on the show as we kick off our broadcast from NPR West in Culver City next Tuesday.
Some people get all the best assignments. Mm. And coming up later today on All Things Considered, the Affordable Care Act. Will it put a lid on job growth or help with job creation by solving an age-old problem, job lock? People who can't take entrepreneurial risks because they'll lose their health care. Also, the Air Force Missile Force. Remember that cheating scandal? Now a former missileer is opening up about the job and its unrealistic demands for perfection. These and other stories coming up later today on All Things Considered. Mark your calendars. We have taken care of business.